Welcome to Younger and Older. This is Jason and Dave hanging out at the studios at Silverbirch Ranch in the North Woods of Wisconsin. And I'm getting excited, Dave, because right around the corner is summer. I know we're not quite there yet, but that's our busy season.
How many people come here in the summer?
In the summer, I'd say
campers.
Camper-wise, we have, I would probably say, between 2,800 and 3,000 students that come through our doors.
Okay.
And then we have three family camps on top of that. So we have you know,
so we might have 4,000 people.
4,000 people come through in a 10-week time span.
Right.
So and I'm excited because it's rare that we get a spring in the North Woods of Wisconsin. You know, last few years I think it landed on a Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
But this year it's
might
like,
have been a Saturday.
It might have been a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
But it actually might be extended this time.
Yeah.
And so I was talking to somebody and we do a theme every year. And to bring the theme to life, we build a set in the field, and we do a thing called theme night where we kind of bring it to life. We get in costume and design a fun kind of all-immersive game experience for them. And so we usually build the set as soon as we can once the ground thaws and all that. And I was talking to somebody the other day. I'm like, man, I think the earliest I've ever started building was maybe the 27th of April. You know, just because in the North Woods, like, you just have to wait
right.
for the frost to get out. But looking at this year, it's like, man, I might get like a 3-4 week jump start on that, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It should be good.
Maybe
there'll be no last minute pressure.
That's right. The theme this summer is called The Hidden Realm, and it's our kind of medieval.
So you're going to have a hidden obstacle out there that nobody can see.
Maybe.
Then it's done.
Then it's done.
it's done now.
It's hidden.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if you've never been here during the summertime, we'd love to have you. You know, whether you want to camp, family camp, youth camp. Some of our youth camps are full, but we do have space in a few of them. Feel free to head over to silverbirchranch.org/summer. Otherwise, if you are a high school student or a parent of a high school student, we're always looking for volunteers.
Yes.
You know, if you want to do something a week at a time. Now, when I say a week, our youth camps aren't necessarily a week long. They're about 5 days long. And so if you wanted to come and volunteer for 5 days throughout the summer and any of the various, you know, areas of camp, we are always looking for volunteers to help make it happen. It takes an army, essentially to help make camp happen. And so if that's something that interests you, or if you want to do it as a family, I encourage you to reach out to us, either check out our website or feel free to even email me. You can do that.
One of the fun things people can do is come up with a youth group and do our dish crew.
Right. And absolutely. Whether it's youth groups or even we've had life groups,
yep.
You know, so if you are in a church, part of a life group, and you're on kind of break for the summer, because I think those
right.
take a break. It's like, man, you can do that as a connecting point. Come, we'll house you, feed you, and then you just help us work together by serving and doing the dishes.
And you get to do some of the fun activities around that and meet
absolutely.
In the evenings with your group. It could be a very positive thing.
Yeah. And so we're looking for those, actually.
Yep.
You know, we have 11 youth camps, and we're looking to try to fill each of those youth camps with dish crews. That way there's not as much demand on our volunteers for that. And so I think we have 2 of the 11 slots filled. And
right.
if you are looking to do something fun and different for the summer, reach out to us. Reach
yeah.
out to us.
I would invite 2 people to pray for very specific things for us for the summer. I would love them to pray that we remain effective at our mission.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, the world is in such a mess that places like Silverbirch Ranch that are really dedicated to knowing Christ and making him known to the truth, we don't want to fade from that at all.
Yeah.
We want to be able to speak the truth in love. We want to be able to talk to people about how special God is to them. We really want them to be responding to the King.
Yeah.
And so if you'd pray that we stay effective, that'd be wonderful. We also want to be a safe place. The world in which we live is crazy again and making things not safe, whether it be war or whether it just be pornography or whether it be something else that's going on in the world that's so accessible and so crazy.
Yeah.
Pray that somehow these grounds are protected and everyone who comes on these grounds is safe.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we mean the physical safety, too, whether it be swimming. We want to make sure that we take care of the people while they're swimming or they're going on horses. We obviously don't want someone to fall off and get hurt or the zip line and that kind of thing. We do some things that have a little bit of danger to them, but that's really part of the fun.
Yeah.
And try and do it to where it's always safe. So pray for safety throughout the summer months. Pray that we remain a fun place. And that's what Jason is in charge of. You know, that we basically are somewhere where people can come, hear a lot of laughter, be together, have it clean, have it fun, wholesome. You know, everything that is right about relationships and activities help us get there.
Yeah.
So pray that we're a fun place. And the last thing is pray that we always stay affordable for people. We never want to turn someone away because they can't afford to come.
Absolutely.
Because ministry and what we do is not just for kids who have resources. It's for everybody.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the unique reasons, and some people don't know that, but one of the unique reasons why we don't charge extra when kids come to camp for horseback riding and for water skiing and for zip line and for all that stuff. Even though it costs us extra to get it done, what we do is we cannot have those who come here with money experience those things, and those who come here without money watch those others experience them.
Right.
That wouldn't be right.
Correct.
So we just offer it to everybody. It's all free once they come here. And so we ask that you pray for those four things, that we remain effective, safe, fun, and affordable. If you do that, we certainly would appreciate it. And if you can come up and participate with us, even better.
Yeah.
Youth workers can come up with their campers even, or they can come up. If you're somebody who could counsel young people, I tell you, a week here at camp is absolutely golden.
Yeah, and if you're looking for an experience for your young people, you know, we're kind of full at main camp, but we also have the Northwoods Retreat, which during the summertime, you know, we actually gear towards specific youth groups. And so we take the camp experience that we do at Silver Ridge Ranch and hone in. That way a youth group can come by themselves, you know, and we kind of focus more on the discipleship aspect. So we still have all the fun and stuff. But imagine just doing the summer camp experience, but it's just you guys. And it creates this intimacy and this opportunity to really invest in your students. And so if you're a youth pastor or if you're a youth leader listening, you know, I'd encourage you, if you want to, you know, plan something that would be really effective with your young people, check out the northwoodsretreat.org. And we'd love to have you. You know, I think it's really important to, you know, we've talked about this on previous shows, but just to provide a space for young people to be young people again.
Right.
You know, and that's why even this summer, one of the things, you know, I'm going to add on to what you said about praying for is we actually are taking a step this summer, asking students to leave their phones at home. Which for some, it's like, oh, that's great. But for some, that's probably a big deal.
Yeah.
And the reason we're doing that is, as many of you know, we're just a distracted culture. And almost an addicted culture to technology. And I think it's one step that we're taking to provide the opportunity for people to unplug, to get away, because that's what they need.
Yep.
You know, a change of place and a change of pace challenges your perspective.
Yep.
And in this case, we need to change, you know, even what's in their hands all the time.
Yeah.
That way they can unplug and realize, man, I can actually get to know the God that I say is distant.
Yeah.
You know, because I think oftentimes as a generation or even as a culture, we're like, man, I don't feel God. I don't see God. And I think oftentimes it's because we're not giving him the space to reach out to us, and we're not stopping to listen.
Right.
And so
I think people ought to have in their daily, I mean, their regular schedule, maybe not daily, a time where they just get apart, do something different, get quiet, meditate, because Satan tries to take that away from us in a very busy culture where there's always distraction available.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun to see kids just stop and sit around a campfire and, you know, throw stuff into the campfire. You know what I mean? It, 8-year-old kids throwing stuff in a campfire. It's like, oh, cool, look at that burns, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
The fun part of camping is always that it does get us out of our normal routine. You know, in some respects, you know, a child who has always got mom making decisions for them, always doing the same thing, all of a sudden they're at camp and they got to decide what shirt they're going to wear.
Yeah.
You know, well, okay, well, some of them wear the same one.
It's true.
They take after me because I would wear the same clothes every day as well. But the bottom line really is camp does things to get people out of their comfort zone. And kids, I mean, it's okay for them to feel, oh, no, I'm in the woods. I don't know what's out here. It's dangerous. We wouldn't have a dangerous place just between me and you.
Right.
However.
Yeah.
There are animals. There are all kinds of birds. There are eagles flying all over the place. There's a lake. Boy, you're not used to that. All of a sudden, all these unknown factors come into play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good for a young person to go through. That's the kind of stress that's healthy. They go through that with other people, and it's good for their minds. It's good for their spiritual lives. So, you know, we encourage, get away from the norm at least a few times a year.
Absolutely.
And get yourself back connected. Yeah. And some people say, I do that on vacation. Vacation's usually a little different. Sometimes you come back from vacation more tired than you went out.
That's right. You almost need a vacation from your vacation sometimes, unfortunately.
Hopefully, when people come here, they can unwind while they're here.
Yep.
And really sit and have nothing on their mind and that kind of thing. Sometimes when I do that, I measure my deep sleep, which I don't know if it's accurate or not. My watch will tell me, what I do. And sometimes if I'm out somewhere and I am not in my norm, I'll double the deep sleep.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, if I'm in my norm, I go about half.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the body does in that case, but it's like, well, you're out, you're unplugged, double the deep sleep. And maybe it's because I was sick or something too. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because I haven't checked it every time, and I don't do that too much. But
right.
That's the fun thing. I want to talk about responsibility today, though, because I think people need to understand that we are people who have responsibilities to God and to each other.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was younger, my dad instilled in me somehow that whenever you learn something, you have a responsibility to teach something.
Okay.
So if you learn it, you teach it.
Yeah.
And you had to look for somebody to teach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like, well, I learned something and I have to teach it.
Yeah.
Now, you look at my life today, I'm still doing that. I do 4 different podcasts. We do some of it's on the radio. I speak, I teach MBI. It's like every time I learn something, I'm putting it in a file to do something with it because I feel responsible to do that.
Yeah.
And as I looked at that, I thought, is that an obsessive something or is that just responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you learn something and it's really good for you, shouldn't you share that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Now, not if you're trying to convince somebody because of your own bias or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So you might say, well, I need to have 5 people think like me so I feel good about me. That's not what we're talking about.
Right.
But learning something in God's word, learning something about life, learning something about anything.
Yeah.
You and I, we've shared information. I mean, you needed trees this year to tap for maple syrup, so you came over and we looked at them because sometimes in the winter it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell what tree is what tree.
What trees are what.
That's right.
And I happen to know on my property what trees are what, so
yeah.
Showed you and you tapped them and you made some syrup out of it. The fun part for me was being able to share the information.
Yeah.
And now you shared it with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the process of making maple syrup, somebody shared that with you,
mm-hmm.
whether it be YouTube, somebody shared it.
Yeah.
And that could be the fascination on YouTube with all the sharing that goes on there. I think God made us to be, I learned something, I got to show somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's the healthy thing. The unhealthy thing is to take something in and not do anything with it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's use food as an analogy. You take food in,
mm-hmm.
and you don't do anything with the calories. You don't do anything with the energy. What happens to you?
You just be B.
Yeah, you become obese. You just sit there. You don't feel good. You don't look good. You don't. Why? Because you were taking in things that were meant to be used
and do something with.
And you didn't do anything with them.
Yeah.
So I wonder how many times we get in the habit of taking things in and we don't do anything with them.
Right.
Now, I might have been obsessed with this all my life because when I was a kid in school and the teacher would give us an assignment, I would always be saying, why do I need to know this?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because if you teach this to me, I need to go do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just take this and go, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, the teacher didn't always have an answer for me. So sometimes they said, that's just how you learn.
Yeah.
I understand that. I'm a teacher, too, and I taught 5th grade. So I understand there's some times where you say, just learn. Just you're going to need this for down the road.
Yeah.
You know, and this builds on that. But the bottom line really is I keep thinking how many times we hear something, we take it in, we say it's important, but we do nothing with it.
Right.
And sometimes it's because we're looking at what other people do. We're gauging our responsibility according to what they do. It's really about what I learn. For example, the Bible tells me if I seek God, what'll happen?
He'll draw near to you.
Yeah. Not only will he draw near to him, I'll find him.
Yeah, you'll find him, yeah.
So God doesn't play hide and seek real well.
Right.
So it's like if you're looking for me, the promise throughout the Bible is you'll find me.
Yeah.
In the Bible, too, we're told if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you.
Right. Sorry, okay. I jumped ahead on your notes.
That's right. But it's both.
Right.
So the responsibility is what? It's my responsibility is to seek God. So if I'm coming to you or you're coming to me and you're saying, all right, Dave, I just don't feel God close to me. My first response is, well, then you're not seeking him.
Yeah. What are you doing to seek him?
Yeah. And you might go, oh, come on. No, I mean it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's a promise in the Bible that if you seek God, you'll find him.
Yep.
So if you can't find him, you're not looking for him.
Absolutely.
So I'd ask you, Jason, how do you find him? I mean, how do people, someone's sitting out there going, okay, fine, how do I seek him? How do I find him?
I think there's a variety of ways. I mean, the main thing is scripture.
Right.
You know, it's like you can spend some time, open up the word and learn about God.
Right.
And if you learn about God, you'll get to know who God is.
Right.
You know, and then spend some time talking to God, you know, and praying and then give him the space to just be, you know. And I think that's those three things is what we're missing.
Yeah.
Because we expect like an on-demand thing. It's like, well, I go to church, I listen to a sermon, you know, I'm listening to music.
But what do you do with the sermon? That stuff goes in and right, it makes goes you in and goes spiritually out. Obese.
If we're even listening. I mean, that's assuming that we're not thinking about what we're doing after the service, where we're going for the football game that day, what groceries we need to get, you know, what homework assignment we need to finish, you know. That's if we're actually paying attention right. to the sermon.
All right, confession time. Have you ever had your wife speak to you, but you didn't hear her?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Now, she's speaking. There are words flying at you. You. They're going into your ears.
Yep.
You might even be nodding.
Oh, yeah. And then and then you see that she's waiting for an answer. And yeah. You're like,
What answer do you want me to give you?
what's the right thing for me to say right now?
Right. Right.
You know.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Your response, if she's talking
yeah.
and she's talking to you, what responsibility do you have?
To listen.
So if you don't listen, whose problem is that?
Mine. 100%.
So we know that God is speaking.
Yeah.
We know he speaks through his word. We know he speaks through creation.
Right.
I mean, I have a picture of a sunrise on my iPad now that is in the background because I was so amazed by a sunrise about a week ago or yep. whenever that was. And I took a picture of it. And still, when I turn my iPad on now, when I look at it, it's like, oh, that is so cool.
Yeah.
See, God speaks through his creation. He speaks through his word. Now, if you really wanted to listen to your wife speak at that moment, you could have.
Yes.
So the problem really is yours. Mm-hmm. Now, why weren't you listening to her?
I was distracted.
Okay, now, we're not talking about a specific time. So, in general, what are you distracted by? She's talking
something else that I think is more, yeah. you know, I'm not focusing. I'm not taking the time to be responsible and listen.
So if we apply that to God,
right.
you need to have time where you say, I am going to focus and I'm going to get rid of the other distractions. I mean, and the distractions can be strange. They could be so little.
Right.
You know, Linda, my wife, she could have put the mail on the counter.
Yeah.
And she's talking, I'm looking at the mail mm-hmm. just from the distance. I'm trying to see what's there.
Right. Yep.
And she's talking, and I hear the Charlie Brown thing, wah, 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 wah. And, yep. and yet, then she goes, what do you think? It's like,
well, yeah, I was looking through the mail.
I agree.
I agree. That's right.
And later, you know, something comes up, and so you agreed to that. It's like, did you say that? You know,
right.
Now, it's totally my fault. What I didn't realize is that I was totally distracted by mail.
Yeah.
Not, this wasn't an evil moment in life. This wasn't. However, if I want to listen to somebody, I need to actually listen to them.
Right. And give them the time.
Okay. So that's the responsibility.
Yeah.
Here's what I encourage people to do. If you want to have a healthy relationship with other people, number one, when you talk to them, look them in the eye. Look them right in the eye. The eyes communicate for the rest of the body. Mm-hmm. If you haven't noticed that yet, you haven't. If somebody keeps looking down, they keep. Now, some people have habits. When I'm thinking, I tend to look up at the ceiling. So my eyes will tend to go somewhere like that when I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But then you know I'm thinking.
Sure.
That's all.
But then after you thought, you re-engage.
Yeah, then I re-engage and I come back. You know, it is so important to be able to look at the body of another person while they're talking. Mm-hmm. Because even while I'm talking here, my hands are moving, your head is nodding. These are all part of communication tools.
Right.
So if you're looking at your phone, you're looking at electronics, you're looking at the mail, you're distracted. Now, you're not good to communicate with.
Yeah.
So you're not good in this communication thing. The same thing happens with God.
Absolutely.
If you're going to be having all these distractions in life and you say, well, man, I got to get in the Word because I'm a Christian. I got this devotional thing I got to do.
Yeah.
And I do a five-minute devotional thing. Okay, I got that done. Most likely that goes nowhere.
Right, especially if you have your phone next to you, you got the music on, you got something going on in the background. I mean, how many times, and I've had this happen, where you read a page of Scripture or a page of your devotional, you flip the page and you're like, wait a second, what did I just read?
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's the thing, like, are you just going through the motions or are you actually giving the space? You know, because like I said, just like when we're listening to somebody else,
right.
you have a choice. You could focus on the mail on the table, or you could focus on who's talking.
Yep.
The same thing goes with our relationship with God. Is it's not just going to magically happen. And I think, unfortunately, as a culture, as a Christian culture, I think we just think magically we grow closer to God by doing nothing.
Right. And you don't.
And you don't. You know, there's an effort there. You know, I'm not saying that you know, I'm not adding on to salvation. You know, Jesus has paid it all. And if you put your trust and faith in what he did on the cross, like, that's what salvation is. But we have a responsibility in the fact of getting to know God. You know, we have to make time
right.
in the day to be able to listen. If we don't make time, it's just like talking to somebody else that we're not paying attention to.
Yeah.
It's just the Charlie Brown in the background, the wah, wah, wah. And that's why often we feel distant from God and we don't hear God, is because we're not taking the responsibility to give him the space to teach us and to learn. And not only that, Dave, like you said, I think it's so important that even when we do our devotionals, whether it's through a five-minute devotional book or reading there's no perfect length of time. As long as you're getting into the Word, it's better than not getting in the Word. But then do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I try to teach young people. Like, if you read a page of the Bible, you know, when you finish, before you go on, before you say, I'm done, it's like, all right, God, what is one thing that I could take away from that?
Right.
You know, so if you just read through the book of Numbers for some reason,
right.
Maybe that's in your Bible reading plan. It's all right, God, I know this was a bunch of numbers, but what's something that I can take away from this?
Right.
Because then it helps you convert just a bunch of words into something that's applicable. And if you make it applicable for yourself, all of a sudden, you're making the connection and you can then teach somebody else that.
That's right.
And that's why it's so important to be able to take what you learn and be able to teach it. And it's not like it has to be, you know, I mean, I'm sure people listening are like, well, Dave, you're Dave. You know, but that's not an excuse.
No.
I mean, sure, Dave and puts it in programs. We all have our own methods. And I'd say choose whatever the simplest thing is to help you take what you're learning about God and put it into words. Because that's then in your brain giving God the opportunity to teach you, as opposed to just going through the motions. You know, you got to take that step. Yes, it takes more effort. It takes more time. But that's what it's all about. That's the personal responsibility that we're talking about.
Yeah. You know, here's an easy way to start.
Yeah.
See this I have right next to me?
He's got a journal. He's holding up a journal.
Yeah, a journal. Yeah. A Silver Birch Ranch journal, by the way.
Yeah.
But I am holding one up. Now, I use this to jot down thoughts and things that I need to do and journal and that kind of thing. Some of the young men that I'm mentoring, when they start journaling, they tell me that's one of the most important things they've learned. Mm. So if you're going to...
Yeah.
Whether it be digital, I tried digital. What I use digital for is teaching.
Yeah.
What I use this for is just my personal thoughts or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And mostly this becomes more my, you know, I need to meet with Jason. I'll put it down here. I want to make sure I do that. I want to make sure this happens and this happens. In other words, I'm journaling my life. Then you can go back through here and you could say, what did I do last Tuesday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember that. So sometimes it's a to-do list, sometimes it's a journal. But if you really have not used God's word well in your life and you haven't been in the habit, pick up a journal, some kind of little notebook, and do what Jason talked about. Come up with, you know, a point, write it down, And then you can actually share that with somebody, what you wrote down.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now all of a sudden you're being responsible with the information that you've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the most irresponsible things anybody can do is learn something and keep it to themselves.
Right, yeah.
Because it doesn't do anybody any good that way except for you. And you're pretty much saying, well, this is this world and everything is all about me. Well, it's not.
Right.
And the things that we have, whether it be resources, you know, I've thought about this a lot. Any resources God gives us, or me, and any time that he gives me, any information he gives me, those are not given for myself. Mm-hmm. Those are not given so I could be self-centered.
Right.
So the responsible part of me comes out and says, okay, then my resources are given to me to be used for something.
Yes.
For what? Well, the Bible tells me if I don't take care of my own family, I'm irresponsible. So it's gonna, some of them are going to go there. Some of them are going to go to help wherever God puts on my heart, you know, places like camp or missions or whatever else it might be. My time, you know, I think one day everybody, all of a sudden, your time is over. You don't have any more, and you'll give an account for your life. Well, the time that I have is not just for me. The resources are not just for me. The talents are not just for me. So being responsible with what God's given me, since he gave me all that,
mm-hmm.
I'm only responsible when I use those things for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd love our young listeners to wrestle with now when they're younger.
Right.
Is to say, okay, God, all the resources, all the time, all the talent, all the stuff that you've entrusted me with, and I use the word entrusted on purpose, how can I be responsible with it so that one day when I stand before you, I'm not hearing you say, you were a self-centered individual and took everything I gave you and kept it for yourself.
Yeah.
You were spiritually obese. You couldn't even get off the spiritual couch because I fed you, but you didn't do anything with it.
Right.
I want our listeners to be responsible with the information, with their skills, their talents, their connections, mm-hmm. to be responsible so that they stand before God one day and they're able to say, yes, God, I did exactly what you wanted me to do.
Right, right. And I think it's so important. I think we've applied this whole consumerness because we see it so much in our culture, and we've applied that to even our own walk with God.
Absolutely.
Where it's just like, well, it'll just be given to me, you know, and we never do anything with it. And so if there's one thing that you take away from today's program, you know, I just want to challenge you, you know, first of all, are you giving God the time? You know, are you just allowing God to be the Charlie Brown, the wah, wah, wah in the background? But, you know, maybe this week you could focus on one day at a time, focusing on him. And then as you listen, take one thing away and try to put that into words that you could share that with somebody else. Unfortunately, we're out of time on this episode of Younger and Older. I thank you for joining us. I encourage you to go back and re-listen to this and other podcasts. But for now, until next time, we'll see you later. Take care. This is Jason and Dave.